Good morning.
Good morning.
Last Sunday, we began the topic of Paul, the exemplary servant of God, and it had covered three specific aspects of his service that made him exemplary. And the first of these was his lifestyle. Paul's lifestyle was God-honoring, giving no reason for any blame to be leveled against him, especially the blame of hypocrisy. Paul said what he meant, and he meant what he said. He always spoke the truth, no matter what the cost. Therefore, he was exemplary according to lifestyle as a child of God. Secondly, we saw that he was exemplary in his service. Though he faced many persecutions, trials, scourgings, and stonings, he nevertheless never lost sight of his mission, which was to proclaim Jesus Christ as the Messiah and the only Savior of all mankind. And thirdly, we saw that Paul was exemplary in his preaching. Paul never compromised the gospel of Christ. Just as he told the elders in Ephesus in Acts 20, verse 27, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." In other words, Paul not only covered the love and forgiveness offered by Christ, who died, was buried, and rose again, but he also declared unto them the awful eternal consequences of rejecting Christ as Savior and Lord. Preachers today tend to conveniently bypass hell and sin and judgment and eternal damnation, because that sort of thing tends to turn people off. But Paul declared the full counsel of God, whether he preached publicly or privately from house to house. This morning, let's turn once again to our main text and see what Paul says, Acts 20, verses 26 to 30. Acts 20, verses 26 to 30. "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." Paul was very careful to give the full story. Not only would he put in perspective the sinner's position and condition before a holy and a righteous God, but he also included the judgment to follow for those who would neglect the gracious offer of pardon through the cross. If they would not have the love of God, then they would have to face the judgment of God. Paul declared, to the best of his ability, all the counsel of God. Included in this counsel of God were also all the riches of his grace, which the church of God would enjoy. But as his departure was at hand, that is, his leaving them, for he was set to go to Jerusalem, and would never see them again, he gave them a most solemn charge in verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Watch out, elders. Be careful to yourselves first, for even elders go astray sometimes. Even elders are seduced into doctrines of demons and may then lead the flock astray. But Paul says, I have warned you. Be vigilant. Be careful. For the enemy would like nothing better than to deceive you and then destroy the flock. And then Paul reminds them of their frightening and awesome responsibility. God, the Holy Ghost, has made you overseers over this flock, this body of believers at Ephesus. You were not volunteered by popular vote from your fellow Christians, but God Himself gave you this responsibility to guard His sheep, to feed His sheep, and to lead His sheep. So be vigilant, because I will no longer be with you to help you. And remember to not take this duty lightly, because Christ purchased every last one of them with his own blood. And someday we will all stand before him and give an account of our service. And the reason Paul's message was so urgent and desperate was because he knew that two terrible things were about to happen to the church at Ephesus and to the other churches as well. First, wolves would enter in among them, not sparing the flock. False teachers and false professors would enter into the local assembly, professing to be one of them, but would privately be destroying them through false doctrine and teachings. And they, the elders, were to be vigilant and ready to protect the flock from such. And secondly, this one is most distressing. Secondly, some of their very own, and I take it as the elders themselves, later would arise speaking perverse things, that is, destructive doctrines, false doctrines, and will draw disciples after themselves. So be careful. Guard against such things, for I weep over you when I think of such things. Yes, Paul was also an exemplary preacher. But fourthly, Paul was also an exemplary servant in suffering. He was exemplary in suffering. In verse 24, we read, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of grace, of the grace of God. Paul suffered much affliction, endured many trials, and experienced terrible hardships because of his devotion to Jesus Christ. And none of these terrible things daunted him, nor did they deter him from his mission. though he was often beaten and cast into prison, chained in stocks and bonds, though he had been stoned and left for dead on other occasions, he always rejoiced in his Lord that he had been counted worthy to suffer these things for his Savior's sake. For it was his intense love for his Savior that led him to pray in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Paul knew and understood experientially something that very few believers ever do, that if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he also will deny us, 2 Timothy 2:12, and that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, 2 Timothy 3:12. And oh, how Paul suffered. He himself tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 25, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, and so on and so on. But through all that suffering, God was able to accomplish mighty things in the life of this apostle. Yes, Paul was also exemplary in his suffering. Number 5, fifthly, Paul was exemplary in his obedience to his Savior. And it was through much of his suffering that Paul learned faithfulness or obedience. You see, since Paul was sold out to Christ and his life was not his own, then suffering was no longer a handicap. Suffering, affliction, persecution were no longer a deterrent from his obeying his Savior. Oh, so many today are stagnant Christians. So many today are powerless witnesses because they are afraid of suffering ridicule, persecution, or physical affliction for their testimony. It becomes, so to speak, a stumbling stone, an obstacle to the testimony of the glorious gospel. Though we must use discernment and not carelessly cast our pearls before swine, we must nonetheless be faithful in testifying when the Spirit of God leads us to do so, and to not be afraid of the consequences. The Apostle Paul was exemplary in obedience. But the sixth and final aspect which made Paul an exemplary servant of God was his love for the saints. He was exemplary in loving the people of God. And oh, how marvelously this Hebrew, this Pharisee from the tribe of Benjamin, learned the love of God in his own life. When the Son of God, whom Paul had so ruthlessly been persecuting, met him that day on the road to Damascus and revealed to this poor, misguided soul his wretched condition. Paul was gloriously born again of the Spirit of God and brought into a newness of life and a testimony that would have a profound effect upon the whole world forever. It was there on that road to Damascus that the old Saul of Tarsus became a new man with a new heart, a new ministry, and a new purpose in life. Later, he would write in 1 Timothy 1, verses 12 to 13, the following. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul understood what the love of God was, for he had experienced it in a way that very few ever would. And because he grasped the depth, the length, and breadth of that love, he was able to give that same love to the people of God. He so loved Israel and so desired to see them saved that his heart was willing to suffer eternal loss for his own soul in place of his Jewish brethren. In Romans 9, 1 to 3, he wrote, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. O, such love, such sacrificial love for the brethren, his salvation for theirs. This is the same profound sentiment of loyal devotion to the brethren as was expressed by Moses when Moses contended with Christ to stay his hand against Israel. You remember when Moses was up in the mountain and Aaron molded a calf out of gold so that Israel could worship this false god. God was so incensed at them, having just recently rescued them from Egypt, that God said, I'm going to destroy this people. And Moses intervened and said, rather than destroying your people, Lord, blot my name out of the book of life instead. And so in Exodus 32, verse 33, Moses pleads with God, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written instead of destroying thy people Israel. When someone loves us that way, we need nothing else. For that kind of love will supply our every need, even when we least deserve it. And so you see how Paul's love for his brethren was manifested, and for the saints, and how it affected them. They in turn loved him and wept for him when he was about to depart and would see them no more. All they would have left of him would be his love for them. Verse 36 to 38 of Acts chapter 20, we read again. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore, and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him to the ship. That is why Paul was an exemplary servant of God. He was exemplary in lifestyle, in service, in preaching, in suffering, in obedience, and he was exemplary in his love for God's people. And so we come to the end of the message for this morning. But as always, before I step down, you know what I must ask you all. Are you saved? Redeemed by the blood of Christ, cleansed fully from all of your sins, or are you still lost? There is no other state. Either you are saved and destined to spend eternity in heaven's glory in the presence of Christ our Savior, or you are still lost and headed for hell and a Christless eternity. And if perchance you are not certain, why not yield your heart and life to Christ this morning? Repent of your sins and put faith and trust in Christ alone to save you. So many today have been going to churches that have preached the synthetic gospel. They think they are saved. They are saved from their sins, but they continue to live in sins. Preachers today have an awful responsibility to make sure that they present the full counsel of God. If we will not accept the love of God, then someday we must accept the judgment and justice of God, which is hell and a Christless eternity. Christ is still saving sinners today. His words are still true today as they were when he first spoke them. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11. Verses 28 to 30. Let's pray. Father, we thank thee so much for thy servant, the Apostle Paul. We are constantly amazed at his devotion to his Savior, and how ashamed we are when we compare ourselves to him. How we fall short of the mark of a devoted servant. Help us, Lord, to draw closer to thee day by day. Help us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Savior daily. And help us, Lord, to seize every opportunity that we can to witness to others, to lead them to our blessed Savior. For we do ask it always in his name. And Father, if the Lord be not come, may it please thee once again as always to bring us together around his Lord's table next Sunday. And Father, for each of us here this morning, we pray, there is always some secret prayer that we have presented before thee. We have wept over it, whether it be a child that's gone wayward, whether it be health issues, or whether it be failure on our own parts. And so, Father, this morning we do present them before thee and ask thee to meet that need. For we do always ask it in our lovely Savior's name. Amen.